This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
New York, you got me for like 50 more minutes. Dial 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan talking New York sports and just sports in general. I mean, I got on tonight during that third period. I just saw, I keep watching this, like, I'm watching ESPN, and I keep watching the replay over. I just, like, don't understand how the best player in hockey is just sitting in the middle of the ice, like, 10 feet away to hit that shot. But anyway, it is what it is. And they just put up this stat. This goalie for Canada had 14 saves in the third period and overtime. I mean, they just turned it on. They turned it on when they had to. Congrats to them. So full racket call is still on the Four Nations, but I'll sprinkle in something for the appetite of the basketball fan, the baseball fan. The Knicks win tonight in overtime. They're undefeated in overtime, and they handle business against a Bulls team that they're supposed to handle business against. And it being the first half of a back-to-back, not having Josh Hart, obviously not having OG Anunoby or Mitchell Robinson yet, you would like to have seen them get that done in regulation, get off their feet, and go rest up, because tomorrow they will face, well now, today, they will face the team with the best record in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers, led by former Nets head coach Kenny Atkinson. Kenny just comes back to Brooklyn, and all he does is win. And watching that game tonight alongside the Four Nations Championship, I watched how the Cavs can just flip a switch and turn a gear on, where the Nets were playing with them for the first three quarters, but in that third quarter, they went on a run. I think they went on an 11-0 run, and that might have turned into like a 22-2 run. And basketball is a game of runs, and that's what separates the elite from the rest of the pack. And the Knicks are going to have to face these guys who tonight, like, not only do they have a starting five that they were able to keep pretty much everybody under 30 minutes on the floor, and they had four of those five guys in double digits, they emptied their bench. They played nine guys off their bench, and they will be heading into Madison Square Garden tonight looking for win number 46. After they were able to beat the Nets 110-97. Of course, they beat them by 13 points. I was about to take the Nets to cover that 13, and I knew not to do it because there were points of the game where the Nets were playing with them. The Nets had a 7-point lead. But like I'm saying, I watched the Cavs tonight and how they're able to turn it on, how they're able to shoot, how they're able to go on runs and just lock down defensively. And yeah, the Nets thought that they were in that game until that third quarter, the end of that third quarter, and then ultimately they got closed out in the fourth. So Nets fans, call me up as Killian Hayes makes his debut, as Bojan Bogdanovic, happy trails, and Cam Thomas, Can't wait to see you. The Brooklyn Nets are competing. The Brooklyn Nets are not tanking. The Brooklyn Nets are going to win some games down the stretch, and maybe they can sneak in to the play-in somehow. 888-808-1019. That's pretty much it on the basketball. I did take some shots at Mikal Bridges, who had a great block to make sure that they went to overtime. But as I looked at the box score and looked at the game, Mikal Bridges is a guy that you gave up 5 first-round picks for. He can't have 13 points. Like, that's another thing about the Knicks, too. I took some flack because I had a take that hit a quote card where I said I don't think – it's the second time I said it. I don't think that the Knicks are winning with this team that they did not draft. What I mean is, you know, most of these teams have homegrown, drafted, and developed players, and then they add role players and bench players and pieces around them. The Knicks have struck out on the draft so much that they just said, to hell with the draft. Let's just build this team with free agents – and with trades, and it's not enough time to get cohesive enough. I don't care if three of the players played in college together. In my opinion, it is just not enough time for this team of, you know, this motley crew to come together and be able to hang with some of the elite teams. I just don't see, you know, them, like, you take out a Josh Hart tonight, they got to figure out how to play without Josh Hart. Precious Achiuwa is starting. Miles McBride is playing. Like, they're going to have this musical chairs now where, okay, Josh is going to come back. OG is going to come back. Mitch is going to come back. They got to figure out how to play with all these different guys. Before you know it, there's not enough time. We see this in the NBA every year. There's not enough time. You need to know where guys are going to be on the floor. You need to know your rotation, substitutions, that type of stuff. I think the Knicks are a good team. But can they be a great and elite team this year? This team, they have to get out of the second round this year. They got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. If they don't, it's going to be a failure. So don't act surprised when they're not able to come together and do that. To do that, they're going to need Karl Anthony Towns to go crazy. He's going to have to go off for 30 while Brunson also goes off for 30. And I just think that there are more cohesive units that have played together, like the defending champs, the Boston Celtics, who ran back the same team. We'll get there eventually. 888-808-1019. Let me take a call, and then I'll add in some Yankee stuff, some Mets stuff as well. John is calling from Texas on the Fan in New York. What's up, John?
Hey, real quick. I'm going to chime in on Stephen A. real quick. You know, I stopped listening to him probably 3 or 4 years ago when he said, you know, if you don't like what I have to say, don't listen. And I stopped. Never listened again.
You took his advice.
I know it's not going to make him go broke, but I don't like it because he makes comments like that. Anyhow, not what I called. So, you know, my ancestors are from Canada, and when the Canadians booed the national anthem, it hurt. And I was just hoping and praying that the Americans didn't boo Canada today. And I can't watch it on TV. I listened to it on the radio, and it didn't sound like they did. They didn't, did they?
You would hear a little bit of rumbling of boos, and it was clear that people around them were like, hey, like, calm it down. It did not reach a loud boo. You could hear just like some rumbling in the background. So, no, I won't say that they booed it.
I'm so proud of everybody that didn't do that, because Canada is like our brother. And I'm just so glad that didn't happen. Thank you for letting me know that.
Thanks for the call, John. 888-808-1019. I mean, Trump is a character. He has a ton of fans. Obviously, he's our president again. He uses that Twitter machine. And he got on Twitter earlier yesterday, and he said, I'll be calling our great American hockey team this morning to spur them on towards victory tonight against Canada, which, with far lower taxes and much stronger security, will someday, maybe soon, become our cherished and very important 51st state. I will be speaking before the governors tonight in D.C. and will sadly, therefore, be unable to attend. But we will all be watching, and if Governor Trudeau would like to join us, he would be most welcome. Good luck to everybody, and have a great game tonight. So exciting, President Donald J. Trump. And that is why you got the tweet after the game from Justin Trudeau, and he said, you can't take our country, you can't take our game. The end. So hopefully you leave it at that. I am someone that always says Twitter is fake life. It's not real. It's internet. It's social media. It is nothing more than that. But people love to make those things bigger than they are. I think it was just banter. I think it just played into the rivalry, and now it's over. The Canadians win again. Kevin in Yaphank? Yaphank? Yeah, Yaphank?
Yaphank.
What's up, Kevin?
How you doing, Keith?
Good.
I just want to take you on a little journey about baby boys and fanhood.
Mm-hmm.
Ties in the NHL a little bit. I'm going to start with a question. You know, every year the NHL knocks it out of the park. Last year, all the buzz was the Winter Classics and they're breaking attendance records, and the Islanders and Rangers played at Citi Field, and
Stadium
the Devils
series,
and Rangers
MetLife.
Played at Yankee Stadium. And it was amazing, and then everybody forgets immediately afterwards. My
yeah.
baby boy, love him to death. One of my first memories with him, he was an infant. Fussy, wouldn't sleep. All right. My daughter's in bed. My wife's in bed. She's freaking out. She's got to go to work. I got to go to work next day, too. I pick him up, hold him on my arms. We're watching the Mets. Johan Santana's pitcher's a no-hitter. Whatever you want to make of that, fine. But I'm holding this baby in my arms, and I'm whispering to him, like, we're watching history, baby boy. You and me, we're seeing it all. And he falls asleep in my arms. I don't get up. Man, I'm a Mets fan. This never happened before. It's all working. I'm holding him. This is it. And then fast forward a couple of years. He's a phenom baseball player, whatever. And kids are different now. Like, he's a Phillies fan. How did this happen? Oh, because Bryce Harper was his favorite player, and then the Phillies picked him up. So he's a Phillies fan because of Bryce Harper. Yeah, whatever. But one of the things I always did with both of my kids, my little girl, my little boy, we always watch hockey. I'm an Islanders fan. Been so since I was a kid. We always watch hockey. Islander games were on, we watch it. If they weren't, we watch the NHL Network, and they had the live look-ins, and we would get 5, 7, 10, 12 minutes of a game, and then it bounced to another one. It was awesome. I take them to the Islanders in the playoffs. They're playing. They're displaced. They're playing at Barclays Center. I stretch myself out because I want to go to the game. And everything I do is about making memories for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter, she's lockstep. She's full-on Islanders. And we go, and my baby boy, my daughter's sitting to my left. He's sitting to my right. We're three rows from the rafters. Whatever, we're in there. We're watching it. And he starts talking smack because he's got to be defiant. He's going to root for everybody but whoever I want him to. Okay, whatever. And he's talking all this nonsense. And he's like, yeah, the Sharks are my favorite team because they have the coolest jersey. Okay, whatever. And he's talking so much smack. There's a guy in front of me, about my age. Got about a 12-year-old kid. This kid turns around and gives me the filthiest look while my son's just rattling off. That's all right, don't worry. My daughter starts getting on me. Like, oh, my God, he's such an embarrassment. I was like, don't worry. When the lights go down, it's all going to change. And it did. You know, the pregame skid-arounds die. The arena lights go down. You know, they're pumping the music in. They're introducing the players. The place goes ballistic. Practically blew the roof right off of Barclays. He was hooked ever since. Die hard.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I don't know where we were going. If there was more, I was waiting for the plane to land, and you took me on a ride, and I gave you time, but I'm running out of time. Like, this show's going to be over in 20 minutes. I'm like, but good stuff, good stuff. Yes, fandom. I care about you guys' fandom. I care about my own fandom. I tell my stories, and, you know, I have a young son. Hopefully my son isn't defiant. He's locked into the Yankees. That's the only team that he has to root for. Bryce Harper should have been a Yankee, but You know, Brian Cashman had Clint Frazier and Jacoby Ellsbury, and, you know, he didn't even call Bryce Harper. Your son might have been a Yankee fan. Might have been worse. Might have been worse. And, I don't know. Stephen A., and I still have some things now, Yankees and Mets related, that I want to get in here, and then I'll, of course, take your calls on the Four Nations. I said there was more things if I searched my Twitter about Stephen A. that I could find. Stephen A., remember when Isaiah Hartenstein first came on the scene for the Knicks? Stephen A. came out when Mitch got hurt, I think, last year, and he said, nah, I got to watch this guy, Isaiah Hartenstein. And I'm like, why are you complaining about him? All that guy does is work hard. All that guy does is play tough. He's not the problem. And I'm like, aren't you a Knicks fan? Aren't you an NBA guy? So, yeah, I tweeted him about that. And then, you know, he talks about how he doesn't have time to watch baseball because that's not important to ESPN. And, you know, that's not what he gets paid to talk about. And how baseball fans, like maybe if baseball fans. And I'm like, no, 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 no. He's so incorrect. But not for nothing, news broke today that MLB and ESPN have mutually agreed to part ways. They're going to end their TV deal following this season, 2025. So, boom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, the Sunday Night Baseball, where's that going to go? It's going to be a wrap. The commissioner noted that he has not been pleased with the minimal coverage that MLB has received on ESPN platforms. You know, there used to be web gems. There used to be Top 10. There used to be Baseball Tonight. That's where Aaron Boone came from, remember? Aaron Boone was with the ESPN baseball broadcast crew. You guys don't even remember that. Because now, Aaron Boone has his extension. Aaron Boone is extended as your Yankees manager. I told you. I told you they were going to extend Aaron Boone before they traded for Arenado or found another bat. And I don't mind Aaron Boone getting an extension. It's a two-year extension. It's a two-year window. But in 2 years, you got a window. Straight up. If it's not this year, it's got to be next year or the year after. 2025, 26, 27. Because after that, then we're cooked. Judge is old. Cole is old. Stanton is probably not even able to walk. Like, we're done after that. And Boone's got to win one with this group of Yankees. I feel like he gets a lot of slack. Even today, I don't know how many people tweeted me about game one. And what I'll say about that, and I couldn't wait to say it on air, if you think that Aaron Boone was the one that stood up in the meeting and said, Nestor's available, I'm going to pitch him in game one against Ohtani, like on his own, no. The Yankees got cute and they got. Brian Cashman, his group, all of them, they probably were excited that they got Nestor Cortez back, a starter that they could throw in the bullpen. And you know what they did? Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. They looked at their numbers on the computer. They looked up, okay, Nestor facing Ohtani, Nestor facing Mookie Betts, Nestor facing Freddie Freeman, and they felt good about him in that spot. It was cinematic, similar to what we're talking about tonight. It was very compelling at the time when they went to the bullpen to bring Nestor Cortez in, but it went wrong. And I feel like that just sent the whole series into the wrong way. And Boone has come in here to talk to BT and Sal about it. They were never going to Tim Hill. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know why Tim Hill got, you know, in the ALCS, got us through some, you know, whatever. Anyway, Boone is back. Boone is back. He is the manager for this team. Aaron Judge loves him, and these players love him, and the Yankees love him. And just remember, him and Brian Cashman are attached at the hip. Boone managed nowhere else. He came in with no experience. They let Joe Girardi, a World Series winning player and manager who got to Game 7 of the ALCS the year before, they let him go. And they brought in Boone, and now Boone can say he got to the World Series, but he's got to win a World Series. And I think that, you know, the way he handled Glaber this year and the way he handled Clay Holmes and Luke Weaver late in the year, you know, the way he handled, you know, some of the personalities from Jazz and Verdugo, those type of things don't get mentioned. The way he even handled Glaber with the benching and pulling him out of a game, those things don't get mentioned. Just the negative things get mentioned. I'm excited for Aaron Boone to continue what he started with this Yankee team. I do feel like this Yankee team can get back to a World Series and win it, but they need another bat. They need another bat. Solomon is in Brooklyn on the Fan. Go for it, Solomon.
Good evening, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. You know, running through some stuff.
All right, just one quick question. What do you think is the percentage of the Yankees getting Jose Iglesias, and what do you think is the percentage of the Yankees trading for Arenado? Thank you. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Thanks for the call. Jose Iglesias, I'm going to put at single digits, 9%. Jose Iglesias supposedly wants multiple years. He wants a fair deal from the Mets. What kind of deal are the Yankees going to give him? He hasn't done anything for them. His value exists with the Mets. I think the next move for the Mets is Jose Quintana. I don't know. Could break on Friday. I've got the 7 p.m. start coming up later, 5-hour KM to AM. Maybe it'll break right before my show. Mets news usually breaks right before my show. Arenado, I would put Arenado a little bit higher. I think it's a waiting game. I think as games start, I think as we're about to see Marcus Stroman pitch, I hope he's lights out. I hope he's amazing. Maybe he's included in the deal. I think that Nolan Arenado, it's 50-50. But I think that through these next couple weeks of spring training games, that 50 could raise up to 60, 70, 80. I just think it's obvious that they should get that done. 888-808-1019. Let me take a call from my guy, Bruce in Flushing. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, a few hockey things if I can. Number one, one of the reasons why Chris Drury has been getting rid of as many contracts as he has, there's been some rumblings in the hockey world that Connor McDavid may want to go free agency when his contract is up, which I believe is in the next 2 years. So the Rangers, if that's true, want to be players in that sweepstakes.
Yes.
So look out for that. Number two, I'm a longtime hockey fan. And I loved watching the series. It was great hockey. But I'm not devastated that the United States lost. I mean, it wasn't the Olympics. It wasn't a world championship. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to call it fake, as one of your cohorts said. But it was good hockey. It was entertaining hockey. But the fact that they lost, okay, they lost. I was rooting for the United States, but I'm not greatly upset by it. Now, if it was the Olympics, yeah, then I'd be a little bit more upset. But, you know, and after Rangers lost the playoff series, yeah, I'd definitely be more upset. But I just appreciated the hockey that I was watching. It was great hockey. It was outstanding hockey.
Yeah.
So for people to get all upset that, you know, their favorite players didn't do well, I couldn't get into that. Also, Emily Kaplan reported they used to have the World Championships every couple of years, and they're going back to that in 2028. So, and next year you've got the Olympics. So there's going to be international hockey. She didn't know exactly where this tournament would fit in with future international competition. But there will be international competition because the World Championships is basically like this. But the World Championships will be 8 teams. Teams like Germany, Slovakia, possibly Russia, depending what was going to happen with the Ukraine war. So that is going to be, it's basically like Olympic hockey. And that maybe I'll be a little more upset if the United States loses. But again, appreciate the great hockey, but to be really upset the United States lost wasn't my deal.
No, I'm over it as well. It was disappointing when that goal hit, but like I'm over it now, and I'm looking at it in totality. It was a win for the NHL, and if you're an NHL fan, if you're a hockey fan, you should feel good about where the sport is right now. The entire sports world is talking about hockey. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 888-808-1019. Let's break it down right here so I can come back sooner and take the rest of your calls. We still have hockey, NHL, Four Nations calls. And when I come back, I'll sprinkle in a couple more things about the Yankees and the Mets to close this thing out. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
yo, 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 yo.
All right, 20 minutes here, and then I'm out. And then C-Mac will come in, and he will talk to you about the Four Nations. He will talk to you about the Yankees, the Mets, the Giants, the Jets, the Knicks, the Nets, the Rangers, the Isles, the Devils, who knows. 888-808-1019. You know, there's this guy named Joe Kelly, and he's got the most punchable face and voice. You remember Joe Kelly? Tyler Austin tried to take his head off years ago when it was Red Sox Yankees. This guy's still talking. He's still chirping. And you know what? I actually should reach out to Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. I've been a guest on the podcast. I got to reach out to Rob and say enough is enough. We get it. The Yankees lost the World Series. They are literally printing out shirts with the score bug that has the Yankees up 5-0 in the fifth inning for people to wear, you know, well, not people to wear, Dodgers fans to wear, with the score bug of 5-0, bases loaded, two outs. And Joe Kelly is going on the podcast to mock the Yankees, to mock Aaron Boone, because Aaron Boone, you know, came out and said, well, it wasn't the Mookie Betts's and the Ohtani's and the Freddie Freeman's talking, basically saying, Joe Kelly, you didn't play. You didn't affect the game. Why are you talking so much? Because you were in the meeting for the Yankee scouting report? But we live in this time of social media clicks and trolling and mocking, and some people just take it too far. Joe Kelly, like, I don't know who you think you are, bro, but if it was me, like, I'd have to see Joe Kelly on the field. Like, if Joe Kelly, like Tommy Pham smacked Jock Peterson over fantasy football. Like, when the Yankees play the Dodgers, is Joe Kelly even on the Dodgers right now? Did they bring Joe Kelly back? Is he a free agent? He might not even be with them. He's a free agent. Before I even assume that he's with the Dodgers, he's a free agent. They don't need him. They didn't need him last year. So, Joe Kelly, you're unemployed talking. You're hating from outside the club. You can't even get in. But he took a shot at Aaron Boone. Say, you know, oh, your fearless leader has fear. And then he took a direct shot at Gerrit Cole, talking about how he's got 9-year-olds doing PFPs, and they all know how to cover first. And I know one guy who doesn't. So I just will remember all that if I'm the New York Yankees. And I know there's people who are going to say, oh, the Yankees don't care about Joe Kelly. He's not in the league. He's a non-factor, whatever. But if I'm the GM of the New York Yankees, I would hear that this chirping is still going on, this mocking is still going on as games are about to start, as Marcus Stroman will be on the mound, as the Yankees are getting ready to see these new Yankees go out there and play this new team that's supposed to, you know, be on a war path, I would think, right? Aren't you looking for revenge? Right? Paul Goldschmidt, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez, and Cody Bellinger will all play in the Yankees spring training opener. If it's me and I'm Cashman, if I'm Hal and I'm Boone, I'm saying this lineup has holes in it. We don't have much depth. We gotta make another move. We gotta get another bat this spring. It's not enough. The Dodgers won. They mocked us, and then they anteed up again. They pushed their chips into the middle again. They got better again. 888-808-1019. Here's something else coming out of, you know, the post-game stuff from the Four Nations, and it's going to keep on coming. So there's a clip on BR Open Ice, Bleacher Report, their hockey account, and Brad Marchand is speaking to the media with his medal around his neck, and he's talking about the Tkachuk brothers, and he says, sometimes when you shoot your mouth off in the media, it bites you. He says, you can do that during the regular season, but not when it's best on best. I'm telling you, I could tell. I watched both of these games. I'm like, tonight, even when they were doing the intros, and Americans didn't really boo the anthem, but they booed every one of those Canadian players, I could tell they were locked in. I could tell they had a sense of pride. I could tell it wasn't fake. It wasn't false. It wasn't anything manufactured. It was dead ass. It was real as hell. They were coming out there with full intentions on redeeming themselves, and they got the win. Tony's in Holdsville on the fan. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I kind of just wanted to talk about how, like, you know, the Four Nations, it was a pretty great idea. It was cool to see all the attention that hockey's getting. You know, I'm a big hockey fan. I just wanted to talk about how ESPN just completely does not care about hockey, minus, you know, John Buccigross. I feel like you tune on, you could tune into ESPN, and, you know, prior to them getting ESPN Plus, I mean, the best you probably see on ESPN, you know, you see cornhole in the top 10 plays before you see an NHL play prior to them getting it. But that's really all I had to say. You know, I think, like, their coverage on hockey has just been, you know, despicable over the years. And by the way, J. Cole has a verse in one of his songs mentioning playing with the stick like Ovechkin. So, you know, Gretzky doesn't get all the praise.
You're right. Wale has an Ovechkin line too. Ovechkin has a couple hip hop lyrics too.
There you go. Well, thanks for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Tony. And you're right. Like, but that's why I say, you know, me making it into the media, from social media and podcasts and, like, getting on the radio, which is actual New York media, I took it upon myself to learn a little bit of hockey and a little more to be able to at least hold conversations and host a show. Everybody's talking hockey now. There are so many people that are going to be unprepared to hold these conversations in the morning across the country. They're, you know, they're going to be able to weigh in at a very minimal level, if at all. And ESPN probably has a bunch of people that, like, can't really talk puck, so they don't. I did see Gary Bettman join SportsCenter earlier today, and you would think with the deal that they have with the NHL and ESPN Plus and the games that exclusively are streamed on there, they would do more, but it takes time. It can't happen overnight. And Stephen A. Smith is a terrible example for him to be somebody that is the highest paid. Like, Pat McAfee is better. Pat McAfee, I saw involved in the coverage of the Four Nations. And obviously, he's a high-profile guy, high-paid guy at ESPN now. I saw, and I had in my notes, Gary Bettman said it would be fun to give everybody a little bit of a sample of what international best-on-best with NHL players represents. And that is what the Four Nations was all about. And then that goes back to Brad Marchand talking about, hey, you're going to run your mouth when it's the regular season. It's different when it's best on best. It's different when you have our country's best versus your country's best. And you got the best of us over the weekend. They ran it back and they got them this time. Howard is in Westchester County on the fan. What's up, Howard?
Hey, Keith. How are you? Doing a great job.
Thanks, man. I'm good.
I've been watching hockey for 60 years. Went to the old garden where the upper deck was actually over the ice, which was a great experience watching a game sitting over the ice. But I disagree with you on one thing. I'm obviously a big Ranger fan, Giants fan, and Knicks fan, but I am a Ranger fan, and I think playoff hockey is the best of all the sports, believe it or not. They're so exciting. But I do disagree that this was not manufactured. I mean, there are some real politics going on. I know you probably don't like the foray into the political world, but this was manufactured, this whole thing between U.S. and Canada becoming the first 51st state and calling their duly elected prime minister the governor, a governor of the United States. Canada is a very prideful company, as we all know, country. I'm born in the U.S. I'm a big USA guy. But I was actually rooting for Canada tonight because of all the political nonsense. You got Greenland going on. You got Gaza going on. You got Panama Canal going on. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy world we're living in. And I know the Canadians take this seriously. They are not the 51st state of the United States. They probably never will be. And they have a lot of pride in what they've done. And they got one-tenth the amount of people we have. And yet they compete in hockey very well. And I think there was real emotion there. And I know it's probably difficult for you to weigh into that world, but there's a lot going on in this world and a lot of it is manufactured. I've never heard anybody boo the national anthem of Canada. Beautiful national anthem. They're our neighbors. It happened tonight. Not because of this rivalry, because people were stoking it with political issues as well. You see that?
Yeah, and they were trying to return serve because over the weekend when the United States defeated Canada in Canada, that whole thing started with the national anthem being booed,
and then, you know, the fight, you know, 9 seconds so into the game.
Why do these nice Canadians boo the national anthem of the United States?
Because of what Donald Trump said, and maybe he leaned too much into it. I don't think it was manufactured. I think Trump's agenda and what he says is what he says. I don't think it was manufactured where, like, Gary Bettman had a conversation with Donald Trump and said, hey.
No, I mean it was manufactured by our president who created this insanity. And I think Canada reacted exactly the way any other sovereign country would react. Yeah,
they played with a little more of an edge, a little more pride. It meant a little bit more to them. Yep. And you could tell in that third period and overtime.
And the fights, which apparently was coordinated by some of the Americans to, you know, show how tough Americans can beat up Canadians.
Yeah, they didn't fight tonight. You know, they came out there tonight in the beginning of the game. They had the skilled players out there. It wasn't any of that in the beginning. But, like, you know, in the game Saturday or Sunday over the weekend, you know, they got to it. And then I think Brady Tkachuk said, oh, you know, I was fighting for the flag. Like, they booed the anthem. And from what I hear, because I was tweeting about him, I guess he's a big MAGA guy, Trump supporter. I don't know. That's not my world. I watch neighborhood Spider-Man, and I watch NBA.
Yeah, but you know what? It affects the world that you're dealing with. And I have to tell you that, you know, we've always had the Olympics, always nation against nation, always intense, it's always emotional. But when you add in this insanity of our insane president, adding this feeling another country, it becomes really, and you know the Canadians are very prideful people, as anybody would be. Think if it happened to us, believe me, we would come out fighting as well.
Sure.
And I think it's part of the story.
It 100% is. You can't omit it. You can't leave it out. It is especially with the ending of that and the immediate response from the prime minister and the tweet today, like, it'll be talked about for sure. Thanks for the call, Howard. 888-808-1019. Ross in Bergen County chimed in. And, you know, Tony knocked ESPN's coverage and says it hasn't been good. But we do got to give credit to Mark Messier and PK Subban, a Ranger and a former Devil. They are great. They do great work on their coverage. It can improve. It can get better. But I think there are other people at ESPN, some of their broadcasters, some of their ESPN guys, some of their panel people, some of these guys on, I don't know, First Take or whatever, they probably don't want to talk hockey, can't talk hockey, can't do a full segment on it. Jimmy is in Queens on the Fan next up. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Good. Last time I called in, it was in the aftermath of Juan Soto signing, and me and you, we were doing the whole Mets Yankees thing, and that it's been a fun winter, that honestly. But I think, like, what I want to talk about is Clay Holmes has his first spring training start on Saturday. And, like, I'm not, like, a blind believer in Stearns. I didn't like the Montas move at all. I'm loving the Clay Holmes move from, like, everything I'm seeing. And he added a new pitch, and they said, and, like, they're saying it's really good. Like, I'm excited about that. I'm interested. Like, you got to watch him daily. Like, I knew he was blowing saves. What your thought is on how he can contribute, and if you think he is the type of guy that can make the jump.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jimmy. I'll say this, and this isn't a slight. I mean, I do lean into the trolling and the needling, and I think, you know, the balance is needed here. There's way more Mets fans at WFAN than Yankee fans, and somebody's got to kind of lean into, like, you know, being the big brother and kind of keeping some Mets fans in line. I was calling Clay Holmes Pray Holmes last year. Pray. There's nothing we could do. The Yankees kept running him out there. I said, all right, when he goes into the game, it's Pray Holmes time. Just pray that he gets through it. The defense let him down, but he let us down a lot too. This is different. There is not as much pressure for him. He's not coming in to close the game. He's starting the game. He did add a pitch, and I have been watching some of his mechanics and stuff, and I have been keeping an eye on him. Just 8 hours ago, Clay Holmes calls his transition from reliever to starter an opportunity he couldn't pass up. This is a rebrand. This is a new lease on life. There were parts of the year last year I could tell Clay was the fans hated him. We were out of him. We're out on him. Yankee fans, we didn't want to see him anymore. And all he would talk about, he didn't talk about the fans. He talked about, you know, being there for his brothers or his teammates. This guy grew out his little beard, his little stubble. And I'm very interested in seeing what his pitches look like with the Mets because he's got filthy stuff. He's got nasty stuff. So if he's not coming in with runners on, inherited runners, if he's not coming in trying to get the last three outs and having the pressure of facing, like, you know, the good part of their lineup with Alex Verdugo falling in the field or Volpe dropping a ball or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it could work, but it also could not work. It's also something he hasn't done in years. It's also a huge risk to think that he can go from closer to starter in a matter of months and pick up that routine. These pitchers are creatures of habit. These pitchers can be very fickle. So let's see. I don't know. Let's see how it works.
That's what happened.
Get your popcorn ready. Here comes Popcorn Rob in Babylon.
Hey, Keith, man, first and foremost, man, thanks, as always, for taking my call, man. Long-time caller, long-time listener. So I'm going to say this. Keith, I do have concerns with the Yankees lineup, man. They have gotten a little less of a confidence that they are actually going to take the American League East. I just can't really kind of see it because they aren't making any moves. Hopefully, the ones that they do have, the players, you know, step up, you know, to the plate and kind of like contribute. And then another thing I want to say, let me say something, Keith. We have been a nation that has been nothing but hospitality for the whole world, right? And when it comes to our national anthem, and because you're having conflict with political issues, first and foremost, we didn't ask them, you know, to become part of our nation. We've given them an invitation. Seems as though everybody wants to be part of the nation anyway. And if you're not going to secure the border and allow people, but I'm not going to get political. See, the only thing I am going to say is, no, I'm not, because, you know, they're allowing people to cross the borders and all kind of craziness. So what I am going to say is we got too much hospitality as a nation to have our national anthem being disrespected. We allow these people to come into our professional sports teams. Okay, so what we're going to wind up doing is we're going to say, okay, we're going to take the Toronto Raptors. We're going to take the baseball team and everything, and say because you are not an American, you know, team or organization, then you can't come over. Like, come on,
no.
We can do so much different. Exactly. But my point is, Keith, just don't. Like, come on, we are a nation that are proud, and we have a lot of hospitality, and we share amongst all other nations in this world. And for us to be walked on or looked at as being a weak nation when every single nation know that we are the strongest and the most dominant, it's just not, I'm not going to buy that.
Thanks for the call, Rob. I don't know where that came from. We just lost a hockey game tonight in overtime. I don't know where that came from. And, like, I don't know. I don't follow politics. I don't follow what Donald Trump's saying. I follow these sports, bro. And I'm on Twitter, and so I was able to pull that tweet, and I just think that, like, this, there's nothing real here. There might be some real animosity over what was proposed and what was said, but ultimately, in the hockey part of it, it's done. The Canada wins. And, shout out to Coach Luttrella. He said, since I can't get through to you, Keith, what are some of these locker rooms like on Saturday when these guys all return to their teams? And I said, there's going to be some bragging, but there's also going to be some quiet time. Like, there's going to be some guys got nothing to say. There's going to be some other guys that might come in with, you know, some gold around their neck. Might be some other guys, like that's the thing. I talked about it earlier. Some of these guys got to go through customs. Some of these guys got to go back to Canada, up to Canada, down to the United States. Like, you know, some of these Canadians play in America. Some of these Americans play in Canada. Got to cross those lines. And ultimately, you know, we got to think of the, you know, order that all of this kind of came out, right? The Americans didn't, some tried to boo the national anthem of, you know, Canada, oh, Canada today, but it wasn't loud. Like, I feel like people in the arena stopped them. Like, you could hear just a smattering of boos, like, underneath. When the Canadians booed the national anthem over the weekend in Canada, it was loud. And I think that was a message to
Donald Trump and our government. But so what? That message got received by the players, and the players went out and literally punched him in the mouth and then won the game. And I think the way that it shook out, the Canadians got the last laugh and they got redemption. And that's all she wrote. And that's all I've got. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this later at 7 p.m. when I'm on. We'll have baseball to actually react to. Maybe somebody will get traded for. Maybe somebody will sign. I don't know, man. Thanks for listening to my show. Keep it locked right here. C-Mac is coming in next for a fresh restart, some fresh thoughts and takes from his vantage point. Dial 888-808-1019 to get on with him. I've got to go home and try to go to sleep. Thanks again. Keep McPherson on the fan. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFN.